University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. Hello and welcome. My name is David Stouffer and I get to be the recruitment coordinator for the UMSL College of Education. Each week on this podcast, we will meet an innovator in the field of education. We will spend some time getting to know them and learning about their work and how it can help you and yours. It is my sincere hope that this podcast will be a source of encouragement and support as you work to continue impacting lives as an educator. My guest today is Bovi Zhang. Bovi, did I say your last name correctly?
That's correct.
Awesome. Thank you. Bovi Zhang's UMSL's first esports coach, has a background in cybersecurity and earned a bachelor's degree in information systems at Liberty University while serving as a signal support specialist in the U.S. Army. Thank you for your service, sir. He founded his own esports company, Flashpoint Esports, in 2016. Bovi has led two other college programs before coming to UMSL as our first ever esports coach. Welcome, Bovi, to the Triton Talk.
It's great to be here, David. Thank you for the invite.
I've been very excited about this and a chance to talk with you. I've had a chance to meet you and get to tour the esports facility. It's amazing what is being done and what you are doing for UMSL, so thank you. Before we get to that, I'm very interested in learning a little bit more about your life before esports. You did a lot of things. Service in the military, cybersecurity, and you founded your own company.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about some of your background and your journey before you wound up coming here to UMSL.
Okay, of course. So a lot of people ask me, how do I get a position like esports, or how do I even get involved into it? So it really comes down to the core of my college career in Liberty, and people think about what they want to do in life and picking a major that they enjoyed at the time but didn't really know what they wanted to do after they graduate. I feel that was a space for me. I did information systems with a cognitive intelligence. I felt like it was a very good major to kind of embark into to get, obviously, a career after you graduate. So that was the mindset going into it. I was good at my craft. I was good in IT. It was something I enjoyed doing. But obviously, that wasn't the path I took later on in the future. And I guess what kind of branched me into, you know, coming to esports, being a part of the scene itself, I used to be a gamer growing up, right? In my generation, you know, technology is very vibrant. Consoles, PCs is very accessible for people. So I think that was my evolutional background. Hey, this is something I enjoy doing. How do I be a part of that space? What do I need to be involved to kind of grow something like this, right? And that came to mind, I guess. You know, I decided to figure out my career path, and I think that's what embarked me into becoming esports. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
fantastic. Your service in the Army. What does a signal support specialist do?
We basically handle radios, right? Telecommunication, transmitting, receiving information from one talk to another, right? One barracks to the next. So that was basically my core job. And basically, we set up these nice big antennas. Sometimes they're in bad areas, so we have to figure out how do we get signal in an area that doesn't have signal. Mm-hmm. I think that was the core of the mission, and that's kind of what I did for the military. I was actually branched with the infantry unit, so I was the person with the radio, right, being able to communicate with other people around the space and kind of go from there. So that's what I did.
It's fascinating. It really is. Tell me a little bit about your experience when you first started to get into gaming, mm-hmm. and the way the gaming industry was then compared to the way it is now. I bet it's just night and day.
It is definitely night and day. I can definitely say things have grown super quick because technology is such a rampant industry. Back in the day, it was very easy Pong, right? Back and forth. The core roots, you can even say chess was probably the fundamentals of games in the future. So stuff like that kind of grew into the atmosphere. Nintendo became rampant, right? Those big companies have been progressing and making more and better and more developed games. So the day and age now, how fast it changed is very overwhelming, right? Because number one, it's super quick paced, and now it's an industry sport that is recognized worldwide. So it's something that when you think of it, like, oh, this was just like a movie. Right now it's happening, and universities are taking a part of it, and they want to be a part of a growing future.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the transition from all of that stuff you did before coaching esports.
Yes.
How did you make that transition, and what brought about that change to getting heavily involved as an esports coach in your own company and all that?
Of course. So we'll start on the route when I started philosophizing why I wanted to get into esports. So in typical, once you graduate, you get an IT job, right, for my space, and you work an 8-5 shift. And you started realizing, okay, well, is this something I want to do with the rest of my life? Right? You get to that mindset. Do I really enjoy this? Can I live and breathe this? Because at the end of the day, it's not a job or a career. It's a lifestyle. You grow into this, right? You wake up, you grow this, you mentality, this is the future, right? So I guess I wanted to embark on something I really enjoyed in the past, but it wasn't a thing. Back in my college career, esports was not rampant. It was just a bunch of people that was in a room and they just played together. And that was just the system they had. Now, how we're wrapping, I want to be a bigger piece of that. How do I make this competitive? How do I bring this to the average person and be able to kind of fluctuate that? So me transitioning esports is a big jump, because I actually quit my job that day, right, when I figured, hey, this is something I want to do. And then I went on a road trip for 2 months around the state to figure out, okay, well, this is my passion goals. This is what I really want to do in life. And how do I do it? Right, esports was, hey, I want to be involved in esports, but how did I did it? Right, what was my first step? I think that was the hardest question. Why the trip took so long? So I built my own company called Ember Z Gaming first, and basically what we did there was we found a bunch of gamers that wanted to play as a team, and we put them together between elos and ranks and how good they were at players. They just couldn't find each other, and I was that middle ground to do it for them, right? And so we started building teams, and that teams became a league where we had enough teams so they competed in their own tournament, and the winner of that tournament got sponsored to a LAN event, right? And that team shined, right? It was called Flashpoint Esports. It was the League of Legends team, and they decided to venture out into the experience world, right? We went to LAN events. They competed. They got top three, and it just started coming from there. Like, okay, well, this is something that we can do, right? We can actually make some revenue off of this. We can make some money off of this, right? And be able to do this because you enjoy it. So that kind of skyrocketed my experience. Like, okay, how do I build a business with esports, right? What do I need fundamentally here and there? Like, how do you build like sports industry? You need all the fundamental stuff, right? And you start thinking, you're building that. And I think that experience itself helped me grow into a bigger industry. We actually, how small esports were back in the day, you get connected with a lot of people, because esports is such a fluid sport that a lot of industries like hockey, soccer, football teams are actually investing into esports. Mm-hmm. So you can connect your pieces pretty easily. I guess one day, a lot of talking,
you,
right?
You do a lot of talking all day long, I think,
I
right?
do, so I have talked a lot since. But one day, out of the blue, I had a friend or connection piece that was in contact with a soccer club in Turkey called Beşiktaş. And they wanted to get involved in the game in the esports, and they needed to find someone to basically grow that fundamentals within their football sport over there. And I took that job on, and I basically had a game plan of, hey, this is what we need to do. This is the people we need to take, right? This is the events that we need to go, and this is how much money and capital you're able to raise, right? I felt like it's just numbers at the end of the day. So I started learning a lot about the industry itself, like a sporting industry, because being a part of sports is almost similar to tradition to what they're doing now, right? The only difference is this is a digital space, so we can do much more than what physical sports can do. So we embarked on that, and I guess my vision of why I got into the collegiate scene is a bit different. I wanted to figure out the longevity of esports and gaming. How do you do that? You teach people. You educate them. You tell people that don't know what it is, mm-hmm. and then that becomes fundamental so the next generations will know, coming to UMSL, this is a program. This is a varsity program that you get scholarships for, and you can make this into a future. I think that's the repertoire we're looking to build, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. the only way to do that is you teach people.
Right.
And that's why the education space is so important. Mm-hmm. Started my first job in Cadi. That was an all-women's institution in Missouri. And I was like, oh, this is a very good opportunity. Why? Esports is a fluid sport.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone could play in it. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, mm-hmm. right? So being able to understand that industry and be able to, hey, this is something you can do bigger than traditional sports, you start embarking into it. You start pioneering the future. So each step was a building path for me. And UMSL was a very good opportunity. Why? It was new. It was fresh.
Sure.
They're a little late to the game because everyone in Missouri has an esports team already, right? You got your Maryville, you got your SLU, mm-hmm. you got your Washington State. And UMSL was there on the map, but where were they? So I think the challenge of pioneering the future, what UMSL can do, is very exciting. It's like growing a plant and a vegetable, and you just seen that grow happen, right? And it makes you feel like, okay, well, I did this. I was able to spirit this little grass, and it became a flower. And I think that's what makes it so exciting. And that's why I want to pioneer into new programs, because you're building the future.
Sure, right? Sure. So. Now you're young enough that you could be a competitor in the esports world. Why did you choose instead to coach instead of just jumping in and being a competitor and making $1 million like Ninja and some of these other people in the esports world?
So my growing path was different. I actually competed in college, mm-hmm. and I did really well. Right, we got first in our state in Virginia. We got top 8 in East Coast. So I actually competed before, and I enjoyed it. But it wasn't the right time, right? It wasn't a thing. It was just something that we just started, and there was no way for me to keep up with the competition. Mm-hmm. Fresh blood was coming out every single day, and it got quicker. Mm-hmm. And for me, I am still a competitor. If you want to go down, you want to play some Smash Bros. Ultimate, you want to throw some hands, I can hold it down. Uh-huh. But playing against these younger generation kids, and they just grew up with it, mm-hmm. right? Instead of growing into it, it just became there. It's a much harder because people just get better. Right, it's just about the fundamentals of discipline, repetitiveness of it. You'll get better when you start early.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Do you ever get on and kind of show the youngsters how it's really played?
All the time.
Uh-huh, good.
I'm a very competitive person because I play sports in my background. I did track and field. I did football, mm-hmm. and I always had a competitive spirit. Mm-hmm. So I always like to show down what I'm capable of doing, especially at my age. I might look young, but I feel really old through my experiences, and be able to kind of put up with them and be able to showcase that.
So now you're first UMSL head coach of our esports team. Talk about the esports program a little bit here at UMSL now.
Of course.
The students involved, how is it organized? Mm. What would a student involved in the program find being part of the esports program here at UMSL?
Of course. Let's start from the beginning. We started as a program at basically August, right? When school was starting, we were still building the arena. So I was there on the weekend. There had so much equipment, chairs to be built, computers to be built, and we built all of that in one day. Right, so that room was basically concrete, and we had boxes in that space, and we built that all in that weekend before school started. So our very first event, what I wanted to do was to find competitive players here at UMSL already. This is very vibrant community, and I knew that there were going to be gamers here. It's just evolutional change. So we wanted to do something special where we can find talent within the region. So the top 4 of my Smash tournament that we hosted was our very first event to showcase what esports was about. And those top 4 players got scholarships.
Wow.
For esports just because they made it there. The other thing, so currently we have 5 varsity teams. And what that means is we give scholarships to those particular games depending on merit and basically what your rank is, right? Some people come in and try out, they make the team, but it's all based on your rank and your merit. Why? Because you get better scrim partners, right? The better the player, you can play against the best, and we're able to kind of get that fundamentals down. That's why these scholarships are competitive. So
the scholarships are specific to a game or a specific platform?
To a particular game.
Game, okay.
Most platforms now are cross-platform. All mm-hmm. consoles can play with PC nowadays.
Sure.
So we just do it based on the game itself. And like our tryouts first, 250 people showed up. We had 12 computers,
wow.
right? And we had great players too. So mm-hmm. it was very hard for me to make the decision, hey, this is the cut. 40 people, that's all we can take because of scheduling equipment, and kind mm-hmm. of start with that, right? So the interest of esports was there. Everyone had that itch of competitive gaming. So it was a really good showing at the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But we grew into a fundamentals of 4 core stages, right, which I like to call the 4 C's. And we'll start with competitive. I wanted to build a very competitive, vibrant environment where we had a varsity and a JV team, where every single member, their spot can be taken from the from the team. Right. So
sure.
we keep them competitive. We keep it that we compete the best. Right. The only reason why is because we're part of a league called NACE, which is the National Association of Collegiate Esports. And we compete with any college that has an esports program. And we have over 2,000 universities already that compete. There's no such thing as single A or triple A. Right. We're playing against everyone.
Sure.
Right. So I think why we can do so much, you know, marketing for that. Imagine being a top end school that has an esports program and being able to be the face of, hey, we were able to build a very successful program and be able to compete at a high space. That's why competitive is very important. The second atmosphere, how I built this program, was creativity. Esports is very fluid, but it promotes creativity. That's why we changed the brand of it. We wanted to make it into a more esports brand. So when you're looking at it, it's like, oh, this doesn't look like sports. This looks like esports.
Right.
So there's a vision behind it. So we have to build a like a creative mindset behind it, which is why content is so rampant. Social media is fluid, right? People love their videos. People love their content. And we're in that realm to do so. So that's why creativity is very important within the program. But it actually opens up a lot of opportunities. Some people that maybe don't want to play competitive, they're casual, they enjoy watching it. We have a creative side. So we're involving graphic designers, we're involving animators, we're involving journalists, right, and to be a part of something they enjoy. And that brings a whole hub of things, which comes to my third point, community, right? Community is very important for the program, is because without the fan or community that enjoys it, what is the program, right? If the people don't enjoy what they're seeing or they don't want to watch what's being competed, then what's the point of the program, right? So that's why I feel community is super important. We do community engagement. We interact with people that don't want to play competitive. We build a brand segment piece where people can enjoy it. Hey, this is something I want to represent, right? And we wanted to build that community-esque environment within the program, which why Minecraft, we just built a Minecraft server. So anyone around the world that has our IP address can get in our server and play with community members. I think it's very important.
Why?
Because it's a lot, right? Why is because after they graduate, sometimes you lose all that connection in college, right? And you lose that you're working, you got to pay all the things, and life gets in the way. But building stuff like this, you keep a very fluid community. We have a Discord server that's now verified. It's called UmSoul Esports at discord.gg. And people come in, people from all backgrounds, your community alumni, staff, faculty members, they come in and they hang out with our players or other community members that enjoy games. And they do game nights sometimes. They are able to interact with people that have the same passion, which is very important, I feel, in the sense of building a program. So that leads to the fourth option, which is I think is the very important one, careers. Right. The whole point of going to college or university is to find careers after that. And I feel a second piece, like myself, jobs like mine are now accessible. This is the future of what you can do. So being able to pioneer that and teach people how to get careers within the gaming esports scene is very important. Because there's a lot of students I have talked to that didn't want to go to college because there was nothing for them. But when you said something about esports or gaming or something that they were passionate about, it changes them. It's like, hey, I want to do this. I want to be a part of it. This is something I am passionate about. This is what I enjoy. So building that environment, I feel, is very important, which is why we're a very career-driven path, right? Esports, you have to do something after you graduate. And being able to fundamentally teach that and give opportunities for students to do that, I think is ever-changing.
That's phenomenal. So. Let's talk a little bit more about the third seed, community. When we had a chance to tour the esports facility and you gave the presentation to the College of Ed when we came over, you mentioned that there are all kinds of opportunities, as you just mentioned, for non-esport athletes to come in and participate in your program. Talk a little bit more about that. How would somebody like me, recruiting coordinator for the College of Ed, be able to get involved with the esports program at UMSL?
Of course. So our hour of operations from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., the space is actually able to be used to the public, right? Computers are charged for now, but they will be free. Consoles, if you have your own console, you bring your own games, you can use the space casually. We do set up events every Wednesday. We have a Magic Night, right? If you like card games, Magic the Gathering, we do that every single Wednesday at 6 p.m. Every Thursday, we bring community members that are not students. They come from the local community. They play Tekken. They play Street Fighter VI. They want people come in just to watch. So we want to build that vibrant environment where people enjoy just being there. And we're hosting a Mario Kart tournament. March 11th to engage with everyone. We have a lot of people in. I work in admissions, right? That's my department. There's a lot of people that say they're really good at Mario Karts. I'm going to put them to the test, right? Get them involved into what we do and bring other students to say, hey, there's the people that are really good at games or they just want to come for fun and play casually. So we'll have two segment pieces for that. That's why I feel bring involving community members, we will try to do different pieces that people enjoy. Mm-hmm. Because the reason people come, they like being there. They like to be around the people that enjoy the same thing they do. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to emphasize that and grow from that. So,
that's amazing. Yeah. That is so amazing. And that's the thing that really impressed me the most was how community-driven the program is. And I'm still blown away even just listening to you talk about how many people can get involved. And it's just fantastic. Just out of curiosity, if I was a young kid growing up wanting to be an esports athlete, are there specific games that I really should be focusing on
Yes.
as a young middle school or high school kid to have a chance to move into college and be an esport athlete?
100%. The fundamentals, most young kids' games like Roblox is very popular. They teach you the fundamentals of most games that can be played competitively. So the five core games I think that people need to focus on because it's very rampant in college and it's very popular in the world, you got League of Legends. Very popular game. That's a PC game. I recommend having a computer versus console. Why? PC can do everything. You can put your PlayStation controller on. You can put your Xbox controller on. So mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter anymore. But there's more fluidity of what you can play, right? So League of Legends probably is my top contender. A lot of people play that. Then you have your Overwatch 2, which is very popular in collegiate. There's a lot of people who play that internationally, worldwide. So there's a lot of opportunities. Valorant is a very new game, but it came out a year or two ago, a year and a half. Very fresh, but it caters competitive. It was built to be competitive. That was the whole point of mm-hmm. it. And now it's getting into the collegiate scene because, number one, the realism behind it is a little different than most shooter games, right? You got your Call of Duties, you got your Rainbow Six, and it's very realistic. This game caters a lot of audience, right? So that's why it's going to be very rampant and
sure.
pushing for it. The fourth one, Super Smash Brothers.
Of course. Ultimate.
Everyone heard of the game. It's very popular. Casual people play it, mm-hmm. but it has a very vibrant competitive scene. Mm-hmm. And I think we need more support on that. We have so mm-hmm. many people that just play it. And I think for universities that are coming in, that's the support system that would do. My tournaments are all Smash Bros. Mm-hmm. right here. So I think this is very important and very vibrant. And the last one is probably a sports game, right? Most schools have different. Here, we have FIFA. Right, because we're partnering with the CFC.
Interesting. Yep.
So FIFA's rampant here. FC24 mm-hmm. Is the new game, so we emphasize that. Other people in different games, NBA 2K, Madden,
Madden
mm-hmm. NHL,
sure.
right? Depending on how hockey-centric mm-hmm. A university is. So stuff like that is very important to get into because that will fundamentally grow you. These are the programs that are going to be there. They're not going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, things change. Every year, there's a new game that comes out because yeah. why? Esports is rampant, and people want to be a part of the competitive.
Sure.
So it's just keeping your eyes out and see yeah. what the trend is. But those are my recommendations for now.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants more information or wants to get involved or just wants to come hang out, what can they do to find out more about the UMSL Esports program?
Of course. We're in every social media platform but Facebook or Meta, what they call it. So it's everything is UMSL Esports or UMSL GG. We post our news about our max score events, what teams are competing against, anything that's going on with the program, fun events. We do all our information there. We are very vocal on Discord, right? Which is an application where you can communicate with anyone in the world. So discord.gg/UMSL Esports is the best way to keep track of all our information and be involved with the community.
Well, guys, this has been fascinating, Bovi. I could talk to you for another hour,
yeah.
But I'm sure you got to save your voice for your... Do you work every day from 9 to 9 every day?
So I work every day 9 to 5. I have student workers that will open it up to there because I got to take care of my health. Yeah, I think we're in that age. Like, oh, we got to take care of ourselves. We can't be here every day. So
right. That's
we try to make that initiative.
That that makes for a long day, but that's very impressive what you do. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. I'd love to maybe down the road have some of your athletes come on and talk about their experience. I think that would be great to hear from, but thank you so much for the work you do, and thanks so much for being a guest here today on Triton Talk.
No worries. I appreciate the invite. All right, we can do this more.
I hope so.
Yep.
I am honored that you chose to join me today for the University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. I hope you'll join me next time. Till then, I'm David Stouffer. Thank you for the work you do. Never forget, you are making a difference every day.